Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He is Joe. I am Jeremy. It's Jeremy and Joe. Brian's here, too. Lots to get to today. Plenty to get to today. Eddie Nunez, VP of Intercollegiate Athletics. University of Houston will be joining us. Big game on campus tomorrow. We already know that. So we'll talk to him about all that is going on around campus. Adam Ronis, fantasy and betting on Fantasy Life. He'll be joining us.
Fantasy football is my religion.
You know, you can catch him, Joe, each and every weekday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern.
That's been fixed, thank you.
It's right there. I'm looking at it right now, Brian. It says weekdays, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern.
I don't know how we revert it, because I know I fixed it. I know you saw that I fixed it. I'm not sure how we revert it.
I nitpick things, Joe, as you know.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, really?
No. You?
I just like to point out things. It cracks me up how Brian puts in the notes that you can catch them weekdays, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern, as we talk to an audience in the Central Time Zone.
You know what that was, though? It was a copy and paste from his bio.
Okay. What do they teach in journalism school?
I didn't go to journalism school. We're not journalists.
Yeah, I did go to journalism school, but I am not a journalist.
You sure?
I am positive I'm not a journalist.
I agree.
This is a huge argument that I've had with people in the past.
I know.
No, I think you can say members of the media for sure. I think that's fine. Do I consider myself a journalist? Absolutely not. I don't write columns. I don't write articles. I'm not there at press conferences. I'm not asking questions. Now, I think you could do this job and put on that hat. Absolutely. Absolutely you can. I don't do that.
I don't want to do that. I have no interest in living.
You don't do
life.
That. You're not a journalist.
No.
Brian's not
no.
a journalist.
No.
Yeah, I love how this is like an argument. Like, no, you don't do. I had other journalists, too, whenever I asked that on Twitter. So, yeah, you guys aren't journalists. So, yeah, I know. Thank you.
Well, they don't want us to be. They don't want us to be
considered
journalists.
Oh, no, they don't like that. The journalists don't like when people act journalist-y, however you want to say that. You know?
Yeah, you got it about right, though.
They get kind of sour about that.
Yeah, but they can do podcasts, but we can't be journalists.
Yeah, which, I mean, it is what it is. But Adam Ronis will be joining us later. Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports will be handing us winners. We'll have a doghouse, which Jose Altuve is getting into my doghouse more and more by the moment. That contract's not looking great there. I said it. It's not. It's not looking good. But plenty to get to. We'll comment about Astros Game 3 in a little bit. But the game yesterday was great, but if you're staring down the bullet at a 3-0 deficit with a game that's already over, I'm not sure that, you know, it feels as good. Good win yesterday in Toronto, leveling the series. Yay, that's exciting.
Yeah, I mean, Yiner Diaz, big day for him. Jason Alexander was awesome.
The summer of George!
He keeps performing in every way you would want him to, but yeah, it all gets kind of ruined by what's currently. But look, it's early.
It's not that early.
There's a lot of time left.
Yeah, but you're getting it shoved in you by Gossman. Javier's not doing well.
Hey, phrasing!
We'll discuss later. But no, I thought that was Yiner's most complete game of the year. Homered, the big go-ahead home run in the ninth inning. That was massive. That was big. That was clutch. He had the near home run earlier in the game, which, weird wall in right that has like a sliver of it that's like 3 feet taller than the rest of the wall. And it just so happened, like, this is Astros baseball lately. It hits the 3 foot sliver of the wall that's a little bit taller as opposed to just like a foot further to the left. And it would have been a double dong game by Yiner. But, you know, whatever. You won the game anyways. He called a good game. Mm-hmm. Like, he was able to guide Costanza through seven strong innings. And then he also threw a base runner out. Like, that was his most complete game of the year.
And you need more of that, because we've had a lot of discussions about Yiner Diaz and his future as a member of the Astros because of what happens behind the plate and how the swing has looked this year. But you mentioned Jose Altuve. If he's been struggling, you need guys to step up and start playing better. And Yiner's one who's had a pretty down year. If you can get him going, it can change the dynamic of this lineup, you know, quite a bit, honestly. They need it. They need him to go out there and put these complete games together to be good on a daily basis.
No doubt about it. But that was his most complete game. You're right about Costanza. Costanza was fantastic yesterday. He has he's been very good. Like, the analytics, like the nerds, they don't like him. Like, his Baseball Savant page doesn't look good. And I believe in the Baseball Savant. I like Baseball Savant. But I think he does have some pitchability to him that a bunch of people don't. Like, he's really good at sequencing. That changeup is nasty. That changeup is really good. Keeps people off balance. Gave you seven strong innings yesterday. I was wondering if they were going to leave him in for the seventh inning. And Espada said after the game that, hey, we would have done that even if the bullpen wasn't, like, you know, as taxed as it has been. He said if everybody was up, he still would have left Alexander there in the seventh, which I'm good with. I mean, if you're pitching like that, the pitch count's still good. He finished with 89 pitches, even completing the seventh inning. Why wouldn't he be back out there for the seventh?
I mean, 5 years ago, he probably would have gone out there for the eighth inning.
Yeah.
And tried to go even deeper into the game. He has been... I don't understand. They just find these guys who, yeah, the baseball savant stuff, it doesn't look great. And I do like it. I don't think it's the end-all be-all because of when you see guys like this. Because I feel like the baseball savant numbers and things like that can get away from you, and then it takes a while to correct them over the course of a season. And everything that ever since he's basically been an Astro, he's looked nothing like what the nerdy numbers will tell you. He just goes out there, he pitches well, he pitches consistently. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have blow-ups. He never really looks frazzled, honestly. He's just kind of a guy who's out there on the mound.
Do you follow Astros UK on Twitter?
Yes.
He's a good guy. I've never met him. He's just an internet friend. All my friends are internet friends these days.
Then what are we?
Can you say bloke on the air? Is that okay?
Great question.
I think bloke is just a guy. I don't think that's a bad term.
No,
bloke's
not.
Bloke's just like a normal dude, right?
Yeah, bloke just means, yeah, just a common man, yeah. Like an average Joe.
My English ain't great.
No pun intended.
My King's English isn't wonderful. Neither is my dumbed down American English. But he's like, he posted a picture of Alexander in this post-game press conference yesterday. He's like, this is the most normal bloke you'll see in all of baseball. Like, that's a great way to put it. Like, only Astros UK can. We can't say bloke. I don't even know if it's a bad word, derogatory word, good word.
Well, you've said it now five times.
Yeah. I feel like a normal bloke.
We could work it into the show. That could be one of our bits.
It's going to sound unnatural for us to say it, but you can say it.
Yeah.
I feel like you need an accent to say that word. I'm
you
want to
try a British accent
I can't do a British accent.
Come on.
I can't. Mexican speakers cannot.
What if instead of like...
And I'm Mexica.
All-star of the week or dude of the week, we do our bloke of the week.
Bloke of the week?
Let's do it.
Is it good or is it bad?
It's good.
It's a good thing.
Is it like he's a dude?
Yes.
Well, not in the way I think you would say he's a dude, but I think he's our average guy who stepped up this week.
I asked Google what does bloke mean. He says a man.
Yeah.
He's just a man. Like, is he the man or is he just a man? You know, that's a big difference.
He's a man. He's not the man.
So, like, that's not a very high, like, term to use to decorate somebody's performance or week.
But if we did a bloke of the week, it could be like a guy, like your average player who has a great week out of nowhere.
Yeah.
If you called me a bloke, I'm not sure what I would have done with it prior to this conversation. They're like, okay.
You didn't know if you could say it on the radio. You said it anyways.
Yeah.
But
so
you definitely don't know how you would respond to
it. You're a good bloke, Jeremy.
Thank you. I wish I could say the same.
Well, how'd that feel? We tried it. How'd it feel?
It didn't feel normal. There's a lot of getting used to. It's like changing your golf swing, you know? Like,
I wouldn't know.
You try to add, take away something from your golf swing, and it doesn't feel comfortable. It doesn't feel right. That's kind of how I feel right now, using the term bloke. I don't know. But he does look like your normal bloke. A changeup is good. Fantastic there. Tremendous bounce back, too, by Brian Abreu. There was conversation on the internet that they should demote Brian Abreu. There was conversation on the internet that Brian Abreu, when he came into that game, if he blew it, Joe Espada is going to be, you know, at the point of blame in that one. Come on now. Like, you guys are all being hyperbolic. Abreu is by far the best arm in that bullpen. Let's not go nuts because he had a little stretch where he wasn't good. Yesterday he was dominant, and he also took a 125-mile-per-hour liner in the thigh and acted like he got touched by a feather.
Yeah, I would have liked to not use him, though, after throwing 30 pitches the day before.
Yeah, but it's not going to matter because they're getting blown out today. So
it's not a blowout. It's only three runs.
I mean, it's four.
It's four? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah, maybe it is a blowout. But, you know, you have to use him out there. He's your best, like you just said, he's the best guy in the bullpen. You have no other options. What else are you going to do? I don't love him in the closer role. I don't think it looks super comfortable for him, but he's the only guy you got. You're not going to use Kimbrel. You're not going to use Okert or anyone else. Like, he has to be the guy at this point. So, yeah, he goes out there and he gets the job done. That's what he's supposed to do.
Yeah. No, he's the I've always really liked Abreu. The control stuff is valid. Like, the walk rate does need to get better if he wants to be in this conversation of, like, people were talking about him as an all-star. People were talking about him as like a reliever of the year because, you know, not the save stuff, but, you know, dominant season, all that. If he does want to take that next step in his career to be this, like, elite reliever, whether he's the closer or not, he's not going to be if Hader's healthy. The walk rate does have to improve. But we saw yesterday, like, a dominant dude that can make quick work of some good hitters in a pretty good lineup. So that was nice. You mentioned Oakert. Oakert did not have the best outing. Made things pretty scary. That one inning was annoying me, though. That two-run eighth inning where the Blue Jays tied it. It's like everything found a hole. Like a 99 hopper finding its way up the middle. That little lefty that pulls the ball past Walker. Like he pulls that a foot further to the line. You're out of the inning. Like that inning just drove me nuts. But again, it's Astro baseball. Everything is going wrong for this team right now.
Yeah, it's one of those where you love it when it's happening for you, but when it's happening against you. Baseball can be one of those painful sports to watch. When you're getting blooped and 88 miles an hour up the middle and it squeaks right by your second baseman. Like you can live with it when it's good for you. But yeah, that's one where he's not a guy I feel highly confident, I would say, right now when he goes out on the
Oakert
mound. Yeah.
No, he's one of the best you got, but I would agree.
I mean, I guess really the entire bullpen, you could say that. Like, you don't feel really comfortable.
Do you have confidence in any of them?
No.
Who I have confidence in Abreu, even with his recent struggles, because I know the dude is flat out nasty.
I probably still do. I feel I'm trying not to try to remove the recency bias.
Sure, that's from tough
Brian
to do.
Abreu, but he's still a dude out there, a bloke.
What about?
But you know, he's got to go. Yeah, no. The rest of the bullpen, no. I guess. Well,
King.
I like King.
You trust him?
I trust him enough.
I get a little Brokeback Mountain feels from Brian King.
What does that mean?
Did you not remember the duck hunt thing?
It was the turkey hunt.
The turkey hunt?
Yeah,
we played a
promo for the, was it the Bases Loaded?
The Bases Loaded, like the first half of the year, they would play this Bases Loaded video that they did on Josh Hader's turkey hunt with Brian King.
Okay.
And like, I got some Brokeback Mountain vibes.
I just want some clarification.
And he's got like that mustache, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
I prefer to say bromance. Hey, I think you're assuming a lot here.
There's nothing wrong with mustache.
Joe has a mustache.
I do have a mustache. Yeah.
No, they have a bromance. They have a bromance. There's no doubt.
It was a bit, and then it became permanent.
Brian King's okay. I don't know if I trust him. Oakert, okay. Don't know if I trust him. Blue Ball, I kind of do trust. Like, well, he's graduated into my trust. What about Eniel De Los Santos?
Yeah, I think he's growing on me. He's still pretty new to have like the full circle of trust. Yeah. In him, but he's climbing the ranks.
I like De Los Santos. That was a good find. And that goes back to the Alexander thing, the Brandon Walter thing, the De Los Santos thing, even King, even Oakert, even Souza when he was healthy. Like this regime, whoever you want to give credit for, whether it's Dana, whether it's his scouts, whether it's the pitching staff that's looking at other pitchers around Major League Baseball, they do a really good job of identifying the bottom of the barrel and then bringing them here, and then they're pretty helpful. They're pretty useful. So give him credit for that, I suppose. Correa's home run uptick in Houston's hilarious. Do you know he's one away from matching his total with the Twins?
For the season?
Yes. He is one home run away from matching his total. If he hits one more homer the rest of the season, he will be equal Astro homers and Twin homers in 2025. You know who that makes mad? Minnesota fans.
There's no place like home, Jeremy.
It's nuts.
There's no place like home.
It's funny.
All of a sudden, he's back in Houston, and he's rolling. I mean, he was really good last year in Minnesota.
He was. He just didn't play a lot of games.
And then this year, there was a stretch where it looked like he was going to be good again, but then he had his typical injury problems. I think he just wasn't fully healthy and really rolling there in Minnesota. Yeah, I'm sure their fans are pissed, but
he got off to a slow start too, and like he had the he was starting to roll a little bit. Maybe not the power numbers, but it was rolling a little bit. It didn't really matter as much because you won the game. But you're in the ninth inning there. Yiner Diaz hits a bomb to give you a one-run lead. You have Ramon Urias coming to the plate. And a spot a pinch hit with Jose Altuve for Urias in that spot, and it made no sense to me.
Yeah, I don't really understand. I tried to find some logic in my brain. Like what could the
How
reasoning,
hard was that? Was it tough?
I didn't find any. So I don't quite understand why that was the decision that you made. It was a strange one.
My thought is that he already committed to the idea of using Altuve for Urias before Yiner hit the home run and didn't want to call him back. That's my counterpoint to my point. I don't agree with that, where it's like, okay, you're starting the inning. Hey, Altuve, you're hitting for Urias in the third spot this inning. Grab a bat, get ready to go. Yiner hits the home run in a spot. I was like, it's Altuve. Go ahead.
I mean, maybe Urias already had like his shoes off.
No, he didn't have his shoes off.
He was already ready to go home.
I mean, I guess it's feasible, but I doubt it.
I know. I'm just trying to find a reason behind it.
No,
it didn't make any sense.
He should have called Altuve back. I'm sorry. I know it's the franchise legend, all of that, but you play your better defender whenever you have a one-run lead, and it was natural. Like, you don't. And if what happens if the game goes into extras and you want a right-handed bat off the bench? Like, it made no sense,
you
Joe.
Lost it. You
made
lost
no
it.
Sense what you're doing there.
Well, I mean, you know, I know Jose Altuve is, and you know, you're not a big fan.
Right, that's now. Not true. I think he's the greatest Astro of all time.
He's not. You're not a fan right now.
He's performing poorly.
Yeah, and it's rightfully so. It doesn't make sense why they did that. I agree with you. That's where Joe Espada is not going to get killed for it, but you play the what-if game of if the game would have gone longer and you wanted to use Altuve in a different situation later in the game, removing him, it's strange. I also don't like the when managers decide to give a player the day off, right? Like, that's what Joe Espada said before the game. It's just another day off as he's trying to get back into the groove of things. I full day off.
Yeah,
I
see that.
If you're going to do it, give him the whole game. Don't use him a pinch hitter role. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I hear you on that. I don't mind using him as a pinch hitter spot as much late game. Like, I didn't like it in that specific spot, but like tie game. Like, let's say Yiner just hits a fly out to center. You know, it's tied 2-2. You know, ninth inning, two outs, nobody. I don't mind using him there. I see your point though. Like, I'm not gonna poo-poo it too much, but I don't mind it. I guess as much as you do.
Yeah, I just think it's weird. It's, if you're gonna give someone a day off, just give them the day off. Because then if they go out there and they have a terrible at bat and it's supposed to be a mental reset. They didn't reset.
You kind of gave that away.
Yes, you're giving that away. If that's the excuse you're going to give for a day off, and then they struggle, it just kind of negates all of that.
That's not why he got a day off. He got a day off because his little behind got benched.
I'm taking Joe Spada for his word.
Okay.
For today.
Coaches and managers never lie. You're right. Yeah.
They never lie.
I totally understand you.
Especially in the Houston Astros organization.
They never lie.
They always tell the truth.
100% truthful.
I was actually glad Jose got the day off because I feel like I'm getting – I had written off our bet as being a win for me.
Oh,
and
I forgot about that.
And that is creeping closer and closer.
What's it up to now?
I think he had gotten up to like 840 on his OPS, but the last I looked,
today.
It was like 785, I think. Maybe.
He's still got a ways to slip.
He does, but he's lost like – he went from like 850 to 780 in about a month.
That might be a bit for us to do on this show.
A tracker?
No. Is the coach lying?
Oh, for sure.
I mean,
is because Joe thinks they never lie.
Well, I think we also have to include GMs because Nick.
That's fine.
Nick Caserio would be lying.
Anybody? Like, are they lying right now?
Yeah, but the odds on are they lying is going to be like -2,000 every time.
Maybe we just catch them in lies. We play. I think they're lying here. Here's a bit of audio to support my case. What do you think?
Yeah, because I feel like if we ask the question, are they lying, we're just going to say yes 95% of the time.
Yeah, it would have to be, I think I caught them in a lie. What do you think? Altuve's OPS is down to 764.
I don't like that.
It's not good.
No, I don't like that for my bet. I wish I had taken you up on the payoff.
I was trying to buy out of it.
Yeah, I should have
taken
it.
Out of the bet because I owe my a beer and a half. If Altuve hits 750,
was it just down to a beer?
I offered you a beer to buy out of it. And you're like, no, let's let it ride. And I was like, okay.
Why a beer and a half?
Because I felt at the time I had to get mods. Okay. So I put up a beer and a half for his one beer because it was pretty low when we made the bet. It was like at 680 maybe.
Yeah, he was pretty low.
So now, I felt that I needed to give him odds to make the bet fair.
Okay, so logistically.
So I gave him +150 basically.
Are you going to go to the bartender and ask for a beer and a half?
I'm frugal. I'm drinking half the beer and then giving it to him.
Clarification.
Yeah, and I'm going first.
That's the clarification we needed. How does that half work?
I wasn't imagining that scenario playing out. I thought we were just going to add this to the running total of our bets, and eventually the 1.5 would add up to something else.
No, I like.
I didn't realize you could take the beer out of my hand, down half of it, and then hand it back.
I'll be quick.
Oh, that makes it better.
713-780 ESPN. Busy show. Eddie Nunez joins us at 5. Talk some Houston Cougar, Colorado Buffalo football coming up at 5 o'clock. Adam Ronis, which you can catch on weekdays 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM.
Troll.
I think Brian's legitimately mad at me for continuing to point that out. He'll be joining us at 4:30. And then Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports. We like to make you money on this show. We attempt to do that. We might not always be successful, but we try to make you money. Lee Sterling at Paramount Sports. He'll be joining us at 4 with his big games of the week. 713-780-ESPN, the HR&P listener line. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on TikTok at ESPN 975. I'm at Jeremy J. Branham there. Are you on TikTok yet, Jeremy?
Yeah, Joe George Radio.
JoJo, oh, that's easy. Brian's like a like an auto-generated screen name, so I don't say it.
It is.
We're also Joe George Radio everywhere.
That's nice. I have to go Jeremy J. Branham because Jeremy Branham was already taken there.
I tried to buy Joe George on Twitter. I got rejected.
How much did you offer?
He just flat out said no. I didn't even get to an offer.
Man, I could be bought.
So you just asked, like, can I buy it? And he just said no and blocked you?
Yeah.
How much would you sell your Twitter name for?
Like, sell it?
Yeah.
I don't really want to be on Twitter, so like a nice dinner.
I think I would need five figures.
Yeah, but you use your Twitter. Like
five
you,
figures?
My Twitter's profitable, Brian.
Okay. Yeah, that changes the scenario, I guess.
Mine makes $0.
Yeah. I mean, it's not very profitable. I might owe you that half a beer. That might be where the funds are coming from. But anyways, we're on Twitter as well at ESPN975. Joe's at Joe George Radio. Brian's at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It is Jeremy and Joe on ESPN975, ESPN925.
All right. Before we go to break, though, let me talk to you about Old Humble Distilling Company, Houston's finest micro distillery, where no one there is going to take a nice Boomtown bourbon out of my hands. Jeremy tries to pull that off at one of our remotes coming up. We're going to have problems. But there are hundreds of reasons to stop by the distillery. I've been telling you guys about them for months. Mainly, they're fantastic whiskeys and cocktails. But let me add a few more things to the list with the many new things going on at Old Humble Distilling Company. First off, they have new hours starting this week right now. More time each day to try their fantastic spirits. Now open Tuesday through Saturday, 3 to 9 o'clock. So stop by after work and try the Boomtown Bourbon, my personal favorite. And on Wednesdays, happy hour now, all night with $8 cocktails until they close. And trivia joins their lineup on Thursdays. Hey, that's today, starting at 6:30. So you trivia fans, go out there and have a nice time tonight every Thursday at Old Humble Distilling Company. And many more new, exciting things coming to the tasting room in the coming weeks as well, including us, as I mentioned. We'll be going out there to Old Humble Distilling Company three times for live remotes before the end of the year. Old Humble Distilling Company, the official whiskey of campfires, cookouts, good stories, and great friends. Go visit their distillery and tasting room at 19103 Continental Parkway, just off FM 1960, and check out their selection of premium whiskeys at oldhumbledistilling.com. You can also grab a bottle at Specs, Total Wine, or finer retailers. Can't find it? Just ask for Old Humble Distilling Company by name. Try Old Humble Distilling Company because life's too short for factory whiskey.
ESPN 97.5. This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
I don't know if I love the way that this is written. Is Jason Alexander a lock for third starter in the playoffs?
What's wrong with how it's written? I wrote it. Start there.
I have fears they're not going to be in the playoffs.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
Nothing wrong with the way it's written. It's just more the
playoff part of it?
The assumption of it. On the playoffs?
The assumption of the playoffs.
Yeah, I know. But I'm going to make that assumption until they're out of it.
Okay. Fair enough. Alexander, is he a lock for third start in the playoffs? 713-780-3776. We'll get to that in a moment. Israel Bryan wants to know, do you still have your whack show on Saturday?
Yeah, we have. My whack show will be this Saturday at noon. Me, Sean Mapes, Cam Smith, John Belmer will be with you noon to two.
There you go.
The full squad is back.
Mapes full squad is back, yeah. Mapes every week.
Mapes big league jaw, non-football season?
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, he didn't want to show up for every week for Astros conversation.
There you go.
He's a football guy.
Texture says that Brian King looks like Blake from Workaholics. Y'all watch that show?
Nope.
I think that's a good comp.
You've seen it?
I've seen the actor enough to get the comp, yeah. I didn't watch that show a lot, but
let's see.
He Blake was also on a few episodes of Parks and Rec, that actor.
This guy's got long hair. No, he doesn't look like Blake. This looks like my friend Screech, really.
Screech you got a friend hero. Named Screech?
Yeah, he runs poker. He runs poker games.
You know, oh, that's right. I do know Screech.
I mean, he goes by Bobby, but yeah. Or he goes by both.
When
we know him as Bobby.
My interactions with him was always Screech.
Screech of Maine.
I guess maybe I met him as Bobby.
Yeah, I mean, he's gotten older. He's matured a little.
Yeah, it goes away after a while.
What age do you have to stop going by Screech?
I mean, probably to the day he dies.
I was going to ask, what time do you get rid of the Y and just go to Bob?
Yeah.
Was Dad's Big Bob.
Oh, then you have to stay Bobby.
Yeah, his dad.
Even when
Bobby.
You're like 40, you got to be Bobby?
Bob, I think Bob and Bobby is okay.
I don't know, man. I can't be a man in my 40s and going by Bobby.
But like if someone tried to call me Joey, like, it's not going to work.
That's my dad's
Same
name.
Same
Joey.
Really?
Yeah. Dead serious.
Does your dad listen?
Not really.
Okay.
No. No. He's too far up north. He doesn't get a signal.
It's very funny.
The Woodlands?
Because my dad might be listening. But I went to my cousin's wedding last year, and all these people from like when my dad grew up were like, oh, you're Tommy's kid. And I was like, I've never heard anyone call him that in my life.
Man. Ocho, I'm still trying to understand why Spot is managing this team like it's May or June or like he's clinched a playoff spot. Why pull Costanza not only after 89 pitches, but after he retired the Jays' top five batters a third time through the order with no problems, let the man pitch. He wanted Alexander to have the eighth.
I would have been fine with that. It's not the end of the world. I mean, the fact that he's getting to go that long when we see pitchers across baseball being yanked way earlier in games because of pitch counts and everything. Let him go as far as he can.
Yeah, I don't mind starting the inning getting in trouble. He probably would have done that if they had a bigger lead. But with a two-run lead, you don't love that. Because if you, like, let's just say you let him start the inning until there's a runner on. Now you're bringing in the reliever facing the tying run. So I think if he had a cushion, he would have done that. Maybe, potentially. Maybe not. A texter, Bobby Lashley. Good point.
Yeah, but he almost doesn't count because he's jacked. What are you going to say to Bobby Lashley?
You're not going to say much, unless you're me and talk trash to Booker T. Texter, tell Israel Cam should have dove for that ball. That was a tough play. He's kind of caught in between. I'm not going to blame Cam for that play. Texter, first time hearing the intro to y'all's show. Not going to lie. I absolutely love it. Simplicity goes a long way. Killed it.
Michael Carroll's the GOAT.
I'm still not sure who that chick is that sings the intro.
I'm still not sure it's a chick.
There's a good chance it's not.
Yeah, I think you're assuming a lot here.
It is. My cousin is 70 years old. We still call him Johnny Jr. You've insulted a big populations of people who have lied at the end of their name.
It's a personal preference, then.
You got to drop the Y once you pass the age of 40.
I mean, I'm a Jeremy.
Yeah, but that's different. You can't have a name. You can't shorten that name without the Y.
Jerome?
Yeah, what do you
Jerome?
Mean? Well, that's to your wife's friends, you're Jerome.
Yeah, my wife's friends group, or what would you call it, text group or something? Text group. The buddy chat. Their buddy chat. They call me Jerome for some reason.
Do they not know your name?
I hope they do. I think they do. My wife certainly does. I'm not sure about her friends.
Like,
no, they know my name.
We gotta clarify.
No, I think they're just being silly. You know how girls can get. They're being a little silly. It's just Jason Alexander. If the Astros are fortunate enough to make the playoffs, which we'll see where they're at the end of the day. They'll still be in the playoffs at the end of the day, but we'll see how much cushion they have in that playoff race. Is he a lock for your third starter in the playoffs?
At this point, yes, because of what's happening in the moment.
Javier's not pitching awful.
He's not, but Jason Alexander's pitching better. As before he really started doing this on a regular basis, I was saying, Javier, that's the third guy through. It's not Spencer Arrighetti. It's not Luis Garcia, Lance McCullers, whoever. It was Christian Javier, because of what he's done in the postseason for this team, the success he's had. But the way Alexander's pitching, to me, it's undeniable that in a three-game series, Alexander gets the ball first. The other thing I like about it is if Joe Espada wanted to be creative, we have seen Christian Javier come out of the bullpen in the playoffs in the past. It was a couple years ago, but you could use him in that role to help secure what's going on in your bullpen right now.
Yeah, I don't think there's really an argument. To me, I think Javier's pitching better than what the line score indicates today. His defense let him down, but did give up some loud contact, stuff like that. He's clearly your third best starter. The pushback to me wouldn't be Javier. And look, I don't have any pushback, period. But if I was going to, like, let's say a fourth starter, everybody available. Like, so if you're trying to, I guess, appoint your fourth starter in a playoff rotation, not that they ever do that, but if you were, I'm not so sure I wouldn't go blue ball ahead of Javier.
Really?
Yeah. Blue ball's been better. Blue ball has, like, I know hasn't started many games in the big leagues, but he's been flat out more effective than Christian Javier. And, like, look, I'm not starting blue ball with the idea that he's going to go seven innings, especially as your number four starter in the playoffs. But can he go four? And then you turn it over to the bullpen, see where you're at? Like, I trust him more with a 3-4 inning outing than I do Javier.
Yes, I understand where you're coming from. My counter would just be that it probably logically would make more sense to put Javier out there for two innings and then let blue ball come in.
Why?
And a piggyback.
Why is that more logical?
Because I don't think they're going to flip it the other way, even though I just said Javier put him out of the bullpen.
I am with you. I don't predict that they will do this.
Yeah.
But what gives you a better chance to win that game? And again, we're assuming that everybody else is like rested and all of that.
Ready to go.
And your three is the three that we're talking. Like, I think there's more of a conversation about your fourth starter than your third starter. Because Hunter Fromber, whatever order, probably Hunter Fromber. Alexander's your three. I don't think anybody's going to argue that. I think that the conversation's actually the fourth starter. And for my money, if I'm managing to win the game for my life, like, hey, Branham, you win this game, you can live. You lose this game, we'll see you later.
You want blue ball?
I'd rather have blue ball start the game than Christian Javier. Yes, blue ball's been far more effective. Far more. And I like his stuff better at this point. Like, Javier's still, like, a little rusty to me. Still finding himself a little bit, coming off the injury. I think Javier could be in a really good spot come next February when pitchers and catchers report. But tomorrow, my life on the line, I'm going blue ball over Javier. I'm sorry.
No, I understand it. I haven't seen enough from blue ball to feel confident in wanting him to be out there in the playoffs, again, assuming they make it. So that's why I lean Javier, but there's what probably – they probably each got what, like three starts left this season?
Well, there's 15 games after today or 14. I think – I don't remember if today's the 15th to last or whatever. There's like 14, 15.
At least
15.
Two starts.
So like, yeah, at least two starts.
Three starts of the rotation depending on how – like if they go 5-6 man.
But
so maybe three.
But so Blue Ball will have a chance to make an argument. He's going to join the rotation. I know Dana Brown didn't say for sure.
That's a good point.
He's going to be in the rotation. So you're going to really get to see what it would look like this final chunk of the season.
They'll have two, three starts to audition to be the fourth starter. And look, I don't think the three starter is cemented by any stretch of the imagination. But if we're making the decision today, it's a slam dunk guarantee. That's why I'm at. If I was making the decision today, I would go Hunter, Fromber, Alexander, Blue Ball.
It feels like a lot would have to happen to unthrone Jason Alexander as the third starter right now. I don't know what over the next two starts, if using that amount of starts that they have left, that could change my mind based off what we've seen from Alexander over the last 2 months. But
he'd have to get rocked.
Going to Joe's point, like of the piggyback, I actually think I'm with Joe a little bit on that. Not so much that we have to piggyback, but I just would rather have, let's say, a combined five, six innings of Javier and Blue Ball than to have three innings of one of those guys and to have to trust this shaky bullpen to cover the rest of the game. Now,
I'm not piggybacking, though. Like, I'm not advocating for a piggyback. Like, we'll see where we are.
Joe was.
Okay, fine. But, like, I'm advocating for let's see how far Blue Ball can go and then let's see where we're at in that game. Like, I'm not committed to the piggyback in a postseason at all.
No, I'm not saying, like, hard rule. Okay, three innings, he's out. Like, no, you play, you use some feel. If one of them's dominating, then obviously you keep rolling with them. But I like the idea of being open to a piggyback to carry that game out because you're assuming neither guy is probably going to get you six or seven, and this bullpen's just so shaky right now that I'd rather not have to go to them until the eighth inning if I could.
So who would you start in that setting, scenario?
I would lean Javier now, but I'm open to the idea of Blue Ball, depending on how the rest of the season goes.
There's a better chance, in my opinion, that if that's your piggyback opener, Javier versus Blue Ball, in my opinion, there's a better chance that the game is lost if Javier is starting it.
Because of what you're seeing in like today's game.
Yeah, I mean, he gets blown up every now and then.
You're basing that take on a really small sample size with Blue Ball.
100%. 100%. I'm basing it on what I've seen the last 3 weeks. I'm basing it since I've seen Javier return. I'm not going to base it on 2023. Why would I do that?
I mean, fair. I'm just saying, like, it feels like past conversations we've had about other guys like Colton Gordon and others, like, man, this guy looks like he's the guy, and then things fall off. Now, Colton Gordon's situation is different than obviously Blue Ball, but
yeah.
It just feels like such a small sample size to set in stone that, okay, Blue Ball's the opener, and then if we do piggyback, he goes until he's done. Like, I'd want to play it out over the course of the season before I make any sort of proclamation.
But you don't have that luxury. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have that luxury. You're a manager that's trying to win a playoff game. Who gives you the best chance to win? Like,
you don't
that's
have
the
luxury
question.
Of seeing how the rest of the season goes before you make the decision?
Well, I mean, we're having the conversation as if they were pitching it tomorrow.
Okay.
Like, we're putting the immediacy in play here. Like, if you were playing in the playoffs tomorrow, it's your game four starter, who would you go Blue Ball? Would you go Javier? I'm going Blue Ball.
We
can revisit this conversation when the regular season's over, but we're having it now. We're having it now.
Today's results don't help Javier's case.
No, they don't.
I flat out said I think Javier's pitching better today than what the line score indicates. He should get out of the first inning with a run, but the Astros can't field a proper pop-up.
And the other thing, too, about this, like with these two guys, with Blue Ball and with Javier, is that probably neither of them you want to see in the playoffs a third time through the order. So you're also not really expecting either of them to go deep into the game. So that's where I think you do have to look at a piggyback situation. If you get to a point in the playoffs where either of them factor in, if they're only going, you know, four innings, this bullpen can't get you to the ninth. Like, you're going to need someone to come in long relief and actually help you get there. So my guess is you see both of them.
Honestly. I mean, it depends. Like, if Blue Ball gives you four, you can go Okert for the fifth, De Los Santos for the sixth. Did I say Okert yet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you said Okert first.
De Los Santos for the seventh.
You gotta throw Okert, De Los Santos, Okert again.
I mean, you could use Abreu, King, Okert, De Los Santos. You could use those four guys to cover five innings. Easily. Easily? Yes.
Off the last 3 weeks results?
I'm not talking performance. I'm talking length. They can easily cover length, yes. Five innings. Yes. Like, do I have faith that one of those guys is going to, like, that all of those guys are going to pitch zeros and goose eggs and get scoreless to the ninth? No.
I think
but
Joe
am I confident
not,
that Javier will? No.
I think Joe and I's opinion, though, was not that they couldn't give us the length. It was that they wouldn't turn into the performance you'd want over five innings.
Yeah, I think I trust the...
But again, I'll push back on that. Those guys for five... Or let's eliminate Abreu from the conversation. Let's say he has the ninth regardless.
Sure.
So let's go obviously. Let's go four innings of Okert, King, De Los Santos, and you can even throw Kimbrel in there if you want to go like one inning max. Will those four guys combine to have better results than Javier for four innings? I would argue yes. Yes.
But you said like Javier is pitching good today.
I said he's pitching better than the line score. Don't twist my words, dog.
I got serious. He threw a dog there.
I thought
Joe.
A bloke was coming there, honestly.
Well, bloke's good, we've heard. I wasn't going to use a complimentary term.
I think depending on the your tone, I think bloke could be used either way.
Oh, yeah, it could, I think.
You're trying to give him a bloke.
Just like dog. Dog can be used either direction you want.
don't put words in my mouth, bloke.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
That didn't come off the right way.
Switch back to dog. That doesn't work.
Ocho 100% with Branham. You know, I've never been a fan of Javier or his stuff, even when healthy. Give me Blue Ball or give me – I'm not reading that part, Ocho. Nice try there, Ocho. Small sample size, but do we have a sense of how Espada weighs experience? Like on the extreme example, Steve Kerr would play a 41-year-old Wash player over a 22-year-old rookie of the year in the playoffs. Some hyperbole here. I think Espada would favor the experience.
I think so too.
I agree with your prediction. Like if you're facing that quandary and that predicament, what would they do? They would go Javier. I agree with your prediction. I just think it's a wrong thing to do.
It's the wrong approach.
I think it decreases your chances of winning that game.
Yeah, I do lean that. That Espada is going to go with the vets as often as possible. He's going to rely on guys that have been there before, done that. I mean, we've kind of seen him do that before. I mean, there's been times where you know Fromber's got the ball in game one of a playoff series, and it's like, does he deserve it? Or Justin Verlander has gotten game one that might have been dusty. But you always kind of lean veteran in the playoffs with these managers. So yeah. If that's the approach they're going to take, it'll kind of answer the question. But it doesn't mean it's the right one.
No.
So you might be right in this way, but if I'm right, I want to be right based on Javier's performance. I don't want to be right based on Joe Espada choosing the veteran
right.
over the better player.
And there is no right. There's no way to define right here. Like it's all conjecture and opinion. Texture, you are talking about the pitching as if that's the problem. These dudes cannot hit right now and cannot hit with runners in scoring position. No, we're not. Those things aren't mutually exclusive. Just because we're having a conversation about what the rotation would look like doesn't mean that we're ignoring the fact that the offense has been dreadful and Jose Altuve has been terrible with runners in scoring position. The entire team, for that matter. You can have separate conversations. They are separate entities. A big if, but if Javier goes six innings, four runs, that's not terrible. Problem is the offense. That's the problem, not the pitching. Sure, we're not. This conversation is about what is the problem with the Houston Astros right now. The conversation was born when Jason Alexander went seven shutout innings against one of the best teams in baseball, and we're having the conversation. Is he your bona fide three? We said yes, and then who would be the four after him? We're not ignoring that the offense is dreadful because that is 100% true. You guys are kicking around pigeon, and really we need to figure out a lineup. He meant pitching. And we need to figure out a lineup, and we can get some hits, and we can get some runs because the vision is the – this guy can't spell.
He's probably driving.
He said, you guys are kicking around pigeon, and we really need to figure out a lineup, and we can get some hits, and we can get some runs because the vision is the least of our concern.
This looks like a voice to
this text. Is what I have to deal with every day.
Maybe he was talking about the wrestling faction, the vision, headed by Seth Rollins.
I doubt it.
You don't think so?
No.
All right.
No, this is what I have to deal with daily. These texters that, and then I look bad. All you texters are making me look bad because you're texting in these voice to correct and like, oh, Branham will figure out the words. He's always done that for us before. No, you know what? I'm going to start reading this stuff verbatim. I'm not I'm not your Siri. I'm not your autocorrect. Whenever you text in bad words, not profane words, although that does happen. Whenever you text in words that you didn't mean, I'm going to read it as it is written. And then whenever we make fun of you for being ignorant, we're going to make fun of you for being ignorant. And I'm going to give out the entire phone number. Just kidding. I won't do that.
You're not going to do that?
No, I think it's illegal.
If it's not, it probably should be.
Definitely.
I would say. You probably don't want to be doxing people.
No, that's not great.
I do have some confirmation here.
Have you ever been doxed before, real quick?
No, I know. You have.
Right? Yeah, Mariners fans doxed me.
Yeah. I don't fight.
I trolled a little too hard.
I don't fight with people enough.
Yeah, I do.
I do have some confirmation here.
I need
for
to
the
chill
show,
out
okay?
on that.
The band's name is The Warning. It is a female led band.
Knew it.
The song is called Sick. They are from Mexico.
Oh! Is that why he did it?
And I'm Mexican.
Was Michael being racist?
713-780.
You said it's the YouTube. It's the warning.
Yeah, the warning.
And what's the song name?
Sick.
And they're from Mexico, huh?
Yep.
Hit the Canelo drop. I wouldn't have thought that.
And I'm Mexican.
There you go.
I think you'll walk out to that on Saturday.
No. No. But he's going to do it out of respect to Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5. He probably was going to. And he's like, oh, Jeremy and
How
Joe.
How much do you think we'd have to pay to get like our logo on his outfit walking out to the ring?
$1 million.
Six so figures at least. No, you think seven figures?
I think so.
On his wardrobe.
Maybe he's like a secondary logo.
What about the corner of the ring apron?
I mean, that's probably seven figures.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, these guys are making how much for this fight?
Oh,
50 million probably?
At least, yeah. At least 50.
How much is Canelo making on Saturday?
I would be shocked if it was under 50.
Oh, my goodness. He is being projected to make an approach. Oh, because the Saudis are involved in this. Mm-hmm. I forgot about
that. Yeah, it's in Las Vegas, but it's part of the Riyadh season.
You want to guess?
Well, you reacted like it was high, so it's definitely above 50. I'll go 85.
This has got to be the highest of all time.
200?
It's 150.
Wow.
It's 200 combined.
For Canelo?
150 for Canelo, 50 for Crawford. That is insane.
Crawford's undefeated. Well, I get it. He's
Canelo's
the
draw.
He's the draw, but I mean, Crawford's undefeated. He's one of the best fighters of his generation.
Yeah, but he doesn't sell like Canelo.
I know.
That's insane.
That's more, to me, a statement on the state of boxing that Crawford can't sell than anything else, but I get it.
It's probably a state of the Saudis, too. This was part of the four-fight deal for Canelo? Has he already fought in this four-fight deal at all?
He hasn't had a fight. Are you talking about with Netflix? Because he hasn't had a fight on Netflix.
Because he signed the four-fight deal with the Saudis. Are they all on Netflix? I'm not sure.
I don't know. This is his first fight on Netflix, though, so I don't know if Netflix is a part of the four-fight deal or not.
I'm not sure either. That's insane. What are you liking that fight?
Canelo.
I need to play some.
Canelo's had trouble in the past with small guys who can move. I mean, see Floyd Mayweather, see Arislandi Lara, but that was so long ago that, and like his footwork has gotten so much better. He used to struggle in his ability to cut off the ring and chase guys down, but he's so much better now that I think the size and the power is going to overwhelm Crawford.
God, I forgot Brian's like a big boxing guy.
Yeah, I love boxing.
Former boxing referee.
I don't judge.
Judge. Yeah, I was a judge.
I don't think they're putting Brian in the pinstripes.
Wow!
Not
Come on,
Brian
man!
In the pinstripes? You kidding me?
Were you guys at the Canelo fight here?
Yeah, I was.
I was
ringside
when they opened the roof.
Flex.
And it started raining.
It was the wind.
Of
the dumbest thing I've ever seen happen. We're like, it's like in the middle of the fight. They're opening the ring and it's raining.
Trust me, and like three other guys, next to me. We all had our papers laid out. They give you the press packet, whatever. They open the roof and it's immediately like the wind sweeps in. It's raining. Papers are blowing everywhere.
It was awesome.
And then Canelo damn near killed James Kirkland in the third round. Mm-hmm. That was fun.
15 games left. The run is over, gentlemen. I don't think they'll even make the wild card. Great run, though. Four runs in six innings is awful. That's a 6 ERA, J-Bone, St. Patrick. That's not good. But the runs are the problem. But, so you like Canelo?
I do.
Yeah. I think I do, too. There can't be any value on that, though. I haven't looked at
the No, he's got to be the betting favorite.
Maybe I'll do something like knockout problem. Well, you think Canelo can knock him out? Or you think he's taking it to the cards?
I don't think he's going to knock him out. I think the play, if you're going to bet it, is maybe the length of the fight.
To decision.
Yeah, because I think the popular play will be Canelo by stoppage. I think maybe you could take Canelo by decision.
Okay. I'll look into that. There's still some time to do that. Israel says Crawford's going to fist emoji his bad word. That's what Israel said. All right, 713-780-3776. Ed Ingram's back at Texans practice. What is your offensive line if Ed Ingram is back? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Football is back, and we are loving it. Football is the very best, and Underdog is the place to make all the picks. They are the very best, too, and win money all season long. Playing on Underdog is fantastic. It's my most used app. You already know that. Pick whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like touchdowns, yards, interceptions, and more. Also new to Underdog, you can pick teams. Like tonight, you could pick Washington. You could pick Green Bay. It moves by the moment, too, so get it while the odds are good. Commanders right now, plus 138. Packers, minus 186. So you like what you're hearing? Go to Underdog, download that right now, and play. Get your picks right, and you can win up to 5,000 times your cash, and you can play with as little as $1. Some of the picks to choose from tonight. How about Josh Jacobs, half a rushing or receiving touchdown? Is he going higher or lower there? Are you a Daniels fan? 228.5 passing yards. You can go higher or lower there. Jordan Love, 234.5 passing yards. Higher or lower? If you think you're a sharp, if you think you know ball, go get those picks in. So much to play, so much fun to be had, so much money to win. Also with Underdog, you still have the originals. You can still enter a draft. That's fantastic. Play ladders, play streaks. It's great. Love me some Underdog. You will too. So download the app right now. Sign up with promo code KILLERB to score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. Promo code KILLERB, K-I-L-L-E-R-B. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog, make picks, win money.
Must be 18 or older and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms _DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Jeremy and Joe, he's Joe, I'm Jeremy.
You, Joe.
Ed Ingram, back at practice. Is Ed Ingram going to fix the Texans' offensive line woes? 713-780-3776.
Just keep asking good questions and don't ask dumb questions.
Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it. How are your windows looking? What do you want the offensive line to be if Ed Ingram is good to go? Obviously, Andrews isn't playing.
Yep, so Cam Robinson's your left tackle. You got Laken Tomlinson at left guard. Jarrett Patterson's your center. Ed Ingram's at right guard. And Titus Howard's back at right
tackle.
You're
benching the rookie.
Cam Robinson was good in this last game. He had the left tackle job for a majority of the season. If you want to play Ed Ingram, unless he can play left guard.
I doubt
Cam?
It.
Cam? I don't think he can play left guard.
No, Ingram.
Oh, Ingram.
So you could, because if there was some way to put, I mean, Titus played left guard for like three practices.
And he played left guard last season and previous seasons,
so
too.
I think he's just an awful guard. But so if you want to get Ariante in there, Titus has to play guard.
Yeah, I think they loved Tomlinson, though.
I know, but Cam Robinson was good at left tackle last week.
Yeah, so. No, I was going back and forth on this. I think you just don't play Ed Ingram. I think you just don't play Ed Ingram. I think you start the same five with the exception being center, and you roll with it. Because Cam was your best tackle. Like, how in the world can you justify benching Cam?
You can't.
You can't justify it. So Cam is your left tackle. Lakin's your left guard. Patterson's your center. I just don't think you play Ed Ingram. It's Ed Ingram? Like, are we losing sleep over Ed Ingram?
No, he was, like, by some of the pressure rate statistics, he was as bad as Kenyon Green last year.
I want to keep the second rounder in there because he has the highest ceiling, so I want him to get snaps. I don't want to bench Tay. I want Ursary to play. So I'll just keep it the way that it was, with the exception of Patterson is now filling in at center because Andrews is hurt. You going with a different O-line?
No, because one of the things that annoyed me about last week is one guy's out and they changed three different positions. So if Ingram's back, or, I mean, if obviously with Jake Andrews still being out, I'd rather just sub out that guy missing and keep everyone else where they're where they were at last week. So hopefully they could build some continuity and some chemistry.
And it would be like the Rams' front seven is good. Like, okay, if they play well against the Buccaneers, like, okay, maybe this is our five. And then if they play bad, you have your answer on that combination.
Right.
And then you make the change. So I'm actually in the boat of let's – they weren't great in week one, but I'm in the boat of let it ride week two, see if you're onto something. But then also if you're not, you get your answer and you can kind of strike out this combination and then start kind of switching some things up.
Yeah, it's just – I just don't know how even you start switching things up. If your tackles are both good and there are issues elsewhere.
Well, Ursary wasn't good. Ursary was actually really bad.
Because I'm with you. Like he should be getting better, right? Now, Nick Cassero, we know he struggles with evaluating offensive linemen, it appears. But if he can be a little bit better, then you want to have him out there. Blake Fisher, though, didn't allow a single sack.
Blake Fisher was trash. Get out of here with that.
Just pointing out the facts.
It's a bad fact, Joe.
It's a correct fact.
If he didn't allow a sack, he allowed a bad TFL. Yeah. Like a bad one where, like, the dude just ran right by him. And then there was another hands in the face. Like, the dude played five snaps, and I think four of them were negative.
I think it's going to be the worst pick that Cassero makes besides Kenyon Green.
It's going to be impossible to beat Kenyon, but I won't push back on that.
Blake, I'm pretty comfortable saying Blake Fisher is a bust.
If they cut him tomorrow, I
And I'm also pretty safe saying that with Drew Scruggs.
And they traded up for Drew Scruggs, drafted him early third?
I know.
Early third?
No, he was second.
They drafted him late second? I can't remember if it was late second, early third. That's not good.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about Ed Ingram and Drew Scruggs hasn't been brought up by anyone.
He
doesn't belong in the conversation even at this point.
That's really bad. Like, if you waste a mid-first round pick on Kenyon, a second round pick on Blake, and you trade up late second for Juice, I mean, Cassero deserves all the criticism he gets.
He doesn't know offensive line.
Dude doesn't know ball. Dude doesn't know trenches.
Those are...
He doesn't know windows, doesn't know trenches. He needs to call Lance. Lance needs to advise him.
Mm-hmm. Those are valuable picks. He keeps missing on them.
Yeah, that's a huge draft capital.
Yeah.
First 2 seconds.
And that's why it's hard to give Ariante the benefit of the doubt. And it's not his fault, but it's just like, how can you trust these offensive linemen that Nick Cassero is bringing in?
Yeah, that's why Gary brought up a great point yesterday when he called. That, you know, Cassero deserves blame for that. Absolutely deserves blame for that. All right, Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports. He wants to get your weekend started with some winners. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports next. Killer B. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Last Friday, we had the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Listener Appreciation Party at the St. Arnold Beer Hall, and it was fantastic. We had over 250 people there. You know what? My favorite part about it was it didn't feel like it. There was so much space. You had the beer flowing. You've got wine. You've got the ciders, everything you could want. And if you don't want to drink alcohol, that's fine, too. They've got the root beer that everyone apparently was dying to try. I had it. It was fantastic. Check them out at StArnold.com. You can click on private events. That's StArnold.com. Click on private events so you can get their brewery game day package for free. Just tell them you heard about it on ESPN and Joe George sent you by.
ESPN 97.5.